Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
On a very special Bert Show. Fish Daddy isn't here. So we could properly say goodbye to our three fair fish.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Fish Daddy, you bring us here today.
I don't know why you gave yourself that name, bro.
I know
Fish
why.
Fish Daddy. I kind of like it.
Yeah. So go ahead and tell those Bert Show listeners who may not be in the know how you became Fish Daddy.
Well, when a fish mommy and a fish daddy.
Well, right now I wish I had the memory of a goldfish to forget the tragedies that have occurred over the last few weeks. We found ourselves as loving parents of some fair fish from where we went to the Georgia State Fair. And Amber actually had one of the craziest physical performances that I've ever seen in my entire life, making a ping pong ball into this tiny little fish bowl and won us three fish. And we were so excited, and we brought them to the studio, and we had our class pets, and everyone was very excited about it. But over the course of the last few weeks, we've lost them slowly but surely, one by one, and last Friday was the final day, and fish number three kicked the bucket.
So we are here today so Fish Daddy could do a eulogy. So this is going to be our fish funeral. And then there has been so many ups, so many downs. There was, you know, drama with the fish tank in the beginning because apparently engineers don't like it when you have water in a studio around, you know, $1 million equipment, which is, I think understandable.
Shocker.
So they got moved to the phone screener office, the producer office, and there they got upgraded to a beautiful tank. And then Bert was the one. I'm sad. Bert's out sick today, but I'm sad he has to miss this. I'm sure he'll listen on the podcast later. But he would go in there, not every day, but that's why he wasn't Fish Daddy. He was Fish Uncle.
He was the Funkle.
And go in and check on him, and he one by one. Now, when the first one died, you had a plan. You were going to go buy another one and put it in there and see if any of us noticed, right?
Yes. That was the original plan. Was I was just going to slowly replace them until anybody, you know, and I was going to change the colors maybe a little bit. There's no way Bert would have ever known.
No, he would not.
Not a chance.
But that's when we started to realize that maybe that there's a reason why these fish are starting to die, and it's because the water's completely toxic and it's not a safe environment for fish to live in. So it wouldn't have been a responsible thing for self-proclaimed Fish Daddy to introduce new fish children into the tank.
If you missed it on Friday, there was a murder mystery, and Amber is now being accused of fish murder for overfeeding the fish. So I think we all just need to go ahead and say our goodbyes. Try to get the ammonia right in the tank, and then revisit this in 2025.
Yes. Yeah. Sound about right.
Does that sound like a good plan?
That sounds like a great New Year's resolution.
I think so. All right, so I'm gonna send it over to you, Fish Daddy. Have at it.
Okay, I've prepared some words for our beloved fallen soldiers. Eulogies are never easy, and this one's not even any easier because it was a triple homicide at hand. So, you know, it's not just one, it's three that we're talking about here. Uh-huh. But, okay, here are the words. From the moment Amber sank that ping pong ball into the jackpot fishbowl at the county fair in front of two carnies with six teeth, I just knew that my life was going to change from that moment on. Today we gather to celebrate the lives of three dear friends and family members, our beloved scale babies, Fish 1, Fish 2, and Fish 3. Fish 1, Fish 2, and Fish 3 were not just pets. They were a source of endless joy, comfort, and companionship.
Even though we didn't give them names.
Mm-hmm.
While they swam in their small tank and swam in their big tank, the last thing that I expected was for them to swim into our hearts. As we say our goodbyes this morning, let us reflect on the memories that made Fish 1, Fish 2, and Fish 3 an irreplaceable part of our lives. Remember that one time when Fish 2 swam from the left side of the tank to the right instead of his usual right-to-left cadence? Unforgettable. Or when Fish 1 thought we couldn't see him behind the glass of ward and was so embarrassed to find out that it was see-through. Incredible. Or even that one time when Fish 2 and Fish 3 swam fin by fin and completed 3 continuous laps around the tank with no breaks. Priceless. As we bid farewell to Fish 1, Fish 2, and Fish 3, let us carry forward the lessons that they taught us. The importance of communicating with those around you to make sure that they are fed the proper amount. The importance of getting your aquarium water tested. And the importance of speaking up, even if you are an intern, if you think that you have a way to help them out. Fish 1 and Fish 2 and Fish 3 may no longer be physically with us, but their spirit lives on forever in the memory we all have. As they cross over into the giant toilet bowl in the sky, please reflect and now use any time that you are on the toilet to remember our dearly beloved Fish 1, Fish 2, and Fish 3. And now I know why they are called goldfish. Because those guys are expensive. Thank you.
Tuesday goodbye. You got through it.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Tough way to start a Monday morning.
Yeah, sorry for making you do e-buzz right after a fish funeral.
Don't you guys know I'm in mourning?
Yeah, that's my. Do you need to take a break?
My little fish nieces and nephews.
You know what? Mm-hmm. Bart's out sick today, and we just started, you know, kicked off the show with the funeral. I think we should all take the day off.
Yeah. Katie, send us a break.
I'm with it.
No, we can't do that. Okay. Well, did anyone watch the Mike Tyson fight over the weekend?
Unfortunately.
Or you tried to?
Yeah, tried to. The real fight was between the people in Netflix.
Yeah, the buffering on the butt.
Uh-huh.
So Mike Tyson and former YouTuber Jake Paul had an 8-round fight in Arlington, Texas over the weekend, and it was going to be streamed on Netflix. And all I saw from everybody was just the same screenshot of the Netflix screen where it's just that circle of death where it's like buffering. So many people were having a hard time actually watching the fight. But if you were able to see what went down, Mike Tyson lost.
Mm. Yeah, he lost pretty bad, too. I mean, I think in watching it, a lot of people, especially my generation of people who grew up watching Mike Tyson, had like, you wanted that nostalgia moment. You wanted to see that flash of the old Mike that you grew up watching. But as soon as the fight started, I think you realized that Mike was fighting Father Time a lot more than he was fighting Jake Paul.
Yeah, it was a unanimous decision that Jake Paul ended up winning. But I don't know why. Because Jake Paul is my age. I grew up seeing Jake Paul on YouTube. So when I heard that he was fighting Mike Tyson, I was like, there's literally no way Mike Tyson is going to lose to this guy. So I know I for sure didn't expect to see Mike Tyson lose. But did anybody else, did you feel like this is, Mike Tyson has no chance. This guy's 27. He's ripped. He's a millionaire. He's probably going to lose.
I mean, I think if you know the sport of boxing, you know that Mike was definitely fighting an uphill battle. Mm-hmm. It's a young man's sport. It just is what it is. Of course, if Mike was in his prime and Jake Paul is in his prime, we got a whole different conversation. But the man is 58 years old. And I know they cut up a lot of the clips and made Mike look like in training, like he could go in there and compete, which was very well done. But when the pads are hitting back and a lot younger and you have to chase him around the ring for a little bit, yeah, that age will start to show itself.
So I wasn't staying up till midnight Friday night to watch this. There was no way.
But that was smart.
But the first thing I'm not kidding you. I was so invested. The first thing I did when I woke up Saturday was search Mike Tyson and Jake Paul to see who won. And then I'm not going to lie, I did a little bit of a gasp. I was like, oh, because I was rooting for Mike Tyson for multiple reasons, just because I really wanted Jake Paul to be put in his place. But I did appreciate what The Game posted on X, because, of course, so many people are coming down on Tyson. But The Game posted, I see all these weird celebrities in words saying Mike looked bad. This was sad and disgusting, etc. Y'all goofy. I saw a 58-year-old legend go 8 rounds with a 27-year-old in front of the world in a sold-out football stadium and walk away with $20 million, his dignity, and yet another achievement he said was only for him. I'm proud of you, champ.
And that's why Mike is Mike. He's still a legend, and he got got in there and he wasn't afraid. I think Jake did have to kind of take it a little easy on him towards the end simply because Jake had a lot more stamina than him. But other than that, yeah, I do applaud Mike for getting in there and giving it a shot. But at this point, I don't blame Mike for anything. I blame Jake Paul for not fighting someone within his age that's a formidable fighter. You keep saying you want to be considered a real fighter. Well, then you have to fight someone that we would consider in their prime and that's still fighting. Until then, I think everybody knows that Jake Paul out here to get a check.
He was a gracious winner, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the more I learn about boxing and fighting, I realize that there's a lot of like storylines behind everything. So like, yes, they're going to like try and rile up their opponent and try and get a storyline going. That it's like, I know that these two men behind the scenes actually have like real respect for each other. So I think they actually are both winners because they both walked away with millions of dollars for what? Like a 30-minute fight?
Yeah, I think Jake got something like over 40 and Mike got over 20 and they were both respectful. It was Logan. It was Jake's brother, Logan Paul, who was a little disrespectful towards Mike at the end of the fight.
Really?
Because Mike just made a point to say, like, you know, they asked Mike what's next, and he's like, oh, I'll fight his brother next. And he said it out of, like, you know, yeah. And then Logan is like, oh, I genuinely killed you, Mike.
Okay, let's...
Like, bro, pipe down, buddy. That's Michael Tyson over there.
Put some respect on his name.
Exactly.
Well, Mike Tyson actually did tweet out something pretty concerning because he obviously was talking about the fact that, you know, he lost, but he still feels like he's won in some ways because he said he almost died in June. He said he had 8 blood transfusions, lost half of his blood, 25 pounds in the hospital, and had to fight to get healthy so that he won. So he says that he's just happy to be here, honestly.
Do we know what happened to him?
I don't.
No, he just sent out kind of a vague tweet about like what happened, but it must have been pretty concerning to say that you've almost died over the summer and then to be back in the ring pretty soon. That's pretty crazy. All right, Daniel Craig is teasing who the next James Bond may be. I'm going to tell you about the clue he dropped over the weekend on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
All right, so is it a thing to send an accidental text on purpose to try to prove a point? Mo, I'm going to need you to explain.
Yeah, and I needed an explanation too because people are crazy, okay? And I did not think that this was a thing, but maybe it is because I think my dude is in a relationship right now that is just piling red flags. I mean, the red flags are just forming and forming and forming, and they won't stop. But he hasn't considered walking away until now because it's a little too soon for them to be in this place of having these types of arguments, if you see what I'm saying. And it's all started over pictures because apparently both of them are in the industry. And this is not something that I knew. But when you take pictures with people at parties, at events, situations like that, there's a way you're supposed to do it. There's a way that you take these pictures professionally in a manner that does not disrespect your significant other.
This is like common knowledge in the industry?
Apparently it is. And if you're in the industry, if you go to a lot of industry events and you take a lot of pictures with a lot of people, this is something you kind of know. So you're supposed to be conscious of where you're placing your hands, where the other person is placing their hands. This is why I think Keanu Reeves got it right.
Yeah.
He really got it right because he doesn't have any of these situations. He's not touching anybody. He does the air hands. That's what I call them, hands in the air if you really don't care. And that's it. But in this situation, this all started because my dude was taking pictures. He's an industry guy. He was taking pictures at a lot of events. And she let it be known that she had a bit of an issue with the way that he was taking some of these pictures. And his response, if I'm being honest, gave me, oh, you just as toxic. Like, I had to be honest with him as my friend, because when she said it, my initial thought was like, wait, what? Like, what are you even talking about? You would have to explain this to me, because this is the last thing on my mind if I'm somewhere taking a picture with somebody I'm professional with. And his response to her was, no, but you do the same thing.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, yeah, y'all perfect for each other. wait, what?
So if you can do it, I can do it.
Right. So then now they're going back and forth, and they're having a literal thing of looking at, like, how she posed in older pictures, how he posed
they're
in older pictures.
They're sitting there comparing pictures?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And she's sending him pictures of, see, this is how it's done. And he's sitting up and just back like, no, this is how it's done. So in my mind, I'm like, this is so toxic. This is out of my realm. I don't understand this. But they go back and forth about it. Fine. So then finally, he decided what his solution was now from now on, at least until they can figure out how you're supposed to take pictures when you're in a relationship, that he'll take pictures at these events, but he's not going to post them on Instagram. That was his solution. She's like, okay, cool. So then he goes to an event and she knows that he was at an event. And she also notices that he doesn't post any pictures from the event. So she asks him, like, you know, how was the event? Did you take any pictures? You see where this is going?
Oh, gosh.
So he's like, yeah, you know, I took a couple pictures. It was cool. No big deal. So then she goes, well, why didn't you post them on Instagram? Why didn't you post anything? You always post stuff. Why didn't you post anything?
This is screaming toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes, well, to be honest, because that's what he was doing. He was being honest. I was trying to avoid exactly what's happening right now. Uh-huh. I figured if I don't post them, there'll be no problem. And she felt like, no, if there's no problem, then you should be able to post them. If you can't post them, then that's the problem.
Oddly, she has a point. However, the way she's going about it isn't screaming healthy.
No. And just when you thought that was bad, here's where it gets even a little more interesting. So they get into a argument over this to the point where they both have to go to separate corners and take a breath, which, okay, fine.
Because is she demanding to see the photos and he's refusing to show her the photos now?
Exactly that. He's okay. Like, what? Because in his mind, this is the entire reason I didn't post them. So why would I send them to you to get into the fight when not posting them was avoiding the fight?
This is way too early to have zero trust in a relationship.
Way too early, right? And I told him that. I'm like, if you did something to warrant this level of distrust, then I would feel like you got to eat this and you got to do what you got to do. But you haven't done anything to be in this position. You are taking on baggage that does not belong to you. But he's like, yeah, I know. So this was their moment to kind of breathe through it. So just when they were supposed to be taking somewhat of a timeout, he gets a text message from her. And the text message, it appears as if she is talking to one of her friends about him. It's one of those, which normally, like, I've gotten that before. A lot of people have gotten a text message from somebody they meant to send to somebody else, but they're talking about you. But what was odd to me about it was she was explaining, like, breaking down her point of view of the entire situation to her friend, quote unquote.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then sent it to him for him to see it. And when he showed me, he's like, look, she accidentally sent me this. And I said, did she respond and say anything like, I'm sorry, my bad, I didn't mean that? He's like, no, she didn't say anything. So in my mind, I was like, I don't think that was an accident at all.
You think she did it on purpose?
I absolutely think she sent that on purpose because she probably, for whatever reason, feels like you weren't hearing her or she just wasn't over it yet. And in her mind, that was the way to get the message across to you was, look, my friend agrees with me and these are my points. And oops, I accidentally sent this to you. But now you know how I really feel and how you look in this situation. I think it was the biggest red flag of them all. And she 1000% sent that on purpose, because to me, if you didn't, there would have been some kind of follow up. I get it's probably embarrassing, but don't you say something to try to fix that?
Abby, is that a red flag or is that just crafty?
iMessage created the undo send button for a reason. She wanted your guy to see that. There is no way she sent that thinking that, well, she sent it specifically to him because she could have A, unsent it. She could have B, apologized. But if she did accidentally send it on accident, she could have also been like, hey, I'm so sorry. I was really heated up about this whole situation. I'm really not over it. But I'm standing on business. I still believe everything I've said in this text message. So regardless of whether it's an accident or not, I think she wants him to read that message.
1000%. That's what I felt.
I mean, no, I think she just hear what little we know about these two and their interactions with each other. And the fact that she hit him up after his event asking about photos. I 1000% think she said it on purpose. Does he?
No, he didn't. He didn't think so at all. He thought it was an accident. I think that's him trying to see it from a positive perspective. That was calculated.
Oh, he's got the love goggles on.
That's exactly what
I was like, see it from a positive perspective or like just bury your head in the sand perspective?
More that when I was trying to be a friend.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
All right, Abby, it's Monday. We're dragging a little bit. Give us a little Monday motivation that we need. All right, Monday mantra.
I'm giving you some motivation for anyone who has been talked bad about behind their back, which is everyone. If you don't think people are talking about you behind your back, good morning. Welcome to the year 2024.
This is going the opposite direction.
Okay, sorry.
we need to reset course here.
To be fair, you did put this on the schedule, and I wouldn't necessarily call this a motivational speech, but I do think it's going to provide some comfort to people who are maybe struggling in their friendships or relationships. If you feel like people are chatting about you, it's probably for a good reason. This is from Drew Townsend.
I just saw this quote that says, they talk about you because when they talk about themselves, no one listens. They talk about you because when they talk about themselves, nobody listens. Nobody is tuned in. Nobody cares. Honestly, that quote speaks for itself, but allow that to stop you from caring what people think. Allow that to stop you from caring when people are talking about you, and allow that to make you realize that they're always going to have something to say about you, but that is truly none of your business. That is their business. That is a projection of their insecurities, their issues with themselves, and don't let that stop you from being who you are and staying true to yourself. Don't let your fear of being judged and talked about stop you from creating that content, from starting that business, from trying to apply to that new job. If somebody is talking about you, they know that nobody cares enough in that conversation to care about what they are currently doing. Cool. Judgment is projection, period.
Period. That was from Drew Townsend on TikTok. I think really great. You know, it's a great perspective shift for, you know, anytime you feel like maybe the gossip train has come to your part of town.
Yeah, I don't know where this originated. I heard Reese Witherspoon say it, and it was because, like, once you accept this, you just become freer. You become lighter to be who you are. And that is recognizing that what people say about you is none of your business. And I always had such a hard time grasping that concept because I'm like, but if they're talking about me, then it is my business because it's about me. But you just, that's not the case. People are going to think what they want to think. People are going to say what they want to say. And at the end of the day, as long as you are living your true authentic life and being your true authentic self and just trying to do the best you can, then screw the rest of the noise.
It's so freeing when you finally understand this concept. It took me years to really grasp it. But when you do, man, I mean, because it's really not your business. And it's like I heard someone say once, people talking about you says more about them than it does about you.
Oof.
And once you really get that and understand that, you become free in just being yourself and letting the chips fall as they may.
All right, so Mo, you also want to add to our Monday mantra?
This is one of my favorite stories. It comes from Will Smith, if you've never heard it before. And it's about just always staying ready for your goals, for your dreams, for whatever it is that you are chasing. You never know when that opportunity is coming, and you have to be ready at all times. And he's going to tell the story of how the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air came together. Because he went to Quincy Jones's house and there were a lot of actors and executive producers there. And Quincy was like, hey, I want to do this show. I want you to be the star of the show. Let me see what you got. And Will is like, well, give me 2 weeks. And he's like, no, you ain't got 2 weeks, bro. We're doing this right now.
In Quincy's house. And Quincy said, where you from? And I said, Philly. And Quincy's like, oh, man, I got some stories about Philly. And he said, okay, your character's from Philly.
Wow.
Quincy was like, we're going to do an audition. I was like,
cold
audition.
He didn't say go in the room and work this out a little bit.
He said, no, Will, read this. And there was like other actors and actresses in the room, and he's grabbing people and putting the parts. All right, we're going to do these scenes. And I was like, yo, whoa. And Quincy took me another room. He was like, all right, Philly, what you need?
Right. He said, I need 3 more days.
I was like, phew, I can't do an audition.
Had you acted at all?
I hadn't acted
no high
at all.
Play, no
nothing.
High.
No. Only my music videos.
Right.
I had made, you know, 3 or 4 music videos, and Quincy was like, that dude got it.
Right.
He said, tell me what you need, Philly. And I was like, I said, just give me a week. He said, okay. They said, a week is good. And he said, then you know what's going to happen, you know, in a week. You know, Brandon Tartikoff, you know, something's going to come up with his kid and, you know, he's not going to be able to make it. And then he's going to have to postpone. And I was like, oh, well, two weeks. Yeah. No, that would, if I had 2 weeks, then it would be really good. And he said, everybody that needs to say yes to this show is sitting out in my living room right now waiting for you. Make your call.
Oof.
Ooh.
No pressure.
Right?
I have anxiety just listening to it.
When opportunity come knocking, you got to be ready, man. Shoot your shot always. Go after whatever it is you're chasing.
The Bird Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
All right, so everybody in the family hated the bride. So much so that they were going to boycott their own nephew's wedding. So we have to check back in with Emily, because last week she was telling us about this toxic bride who was basically pulling her nephew away from the family. And when I say like they were going to boycott, she told us there's going to be about 100 people who had RSVP'd yes, that were going to be no shows at this wedding, because that's how miserable this bride is. And of course, I actually, this popped into my head a couple times over the weekend. Like, I wonder if anybody showed up at the wedding. All right. So Emily, welcome back to the Bert Show. Just go ahead if you can in like 60 seconds and kind of reset what was going on here with your nephew and his future bride.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
So my sister and brother-in-law were trying to help out with the wedding and pay for some things, but the bride kept changing her mind and making everything more expensive and more expensive. And they finally put their foot down and said that this is what you're going to get. We're not doing anything more. And she got upset and uninvited them to the wedding.
That sounds super mature of her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the rest of the family was starting to rally around your sister and your brother-in-law, because you all have seen how this relationship has taken a toll on your nephew, correct?
Yes. So we haven't had any contact with the groom at all. She's been intercepting all phone calls and texts and everything. And so we don't even know how he was doing before the wedding at all.
So here it comes. It's the day of the wedding. And you guys within the family, unbeknownst to him and her, were going to just not attend. And didn't somebody plan another event or something since people were going to be in town?
Yeah, so my mom wanted to entertain everyone because everyone was still coming for the wedding. but we decided that we were going to have a murder mystery party at the farm instead. So that's what we ended up doing.
So your mom, a.k.a. the groom's grandma.
Yes.
Okay, so the whole fam.
Everybody.
Whole fam in on it. All right, so the weekend came and went. Emily, break it down for us. What happened?
Yeah, so, you know, we discussed it beforehand because we really were struggling with not showing up and stuff. But we decided that we ourselves wouldn't be able to enjoy it knowing my sister and brother-in-law weren't invited. The bride actually hired security. They did show up.
Wow.
They actually, yeah, they would have been escorted out by the police. So knowing that, we all decided that we're just going to stay away from the drama, not get into it, and support our sister and brother-in-law and just have the murder mystery party. So my nephew and niece actually did end up going because my nephew was the best man. Mm-hmm. And he said that, so imagine this, so the venue that they had was 400 people max, and they were at max capacity.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was going to be a large wedding. And they said only about 150 people showed up.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was severely diminished.
The laugh.
The laugh. So,
all right. So, only 150 people. What was the reaction of the groom and the bride?
They were upset for sure, because even some of the bridal party left early, like after the toast and stuff, you know, you're kind of done mm-hmm. after that. Some of the wedding party even left early, and the groom had texted his brother asking, you know, where they went, and they're like, oh, we just couldn't do it anymore. We had to leave. And he never heard from them after that. So
was this a wake-up call for your nephew, or has this just pitted your nephew against the family even more?
I hope it's a wake-up call. Again, we haven't really talked to him. They left for their honeymoon right afterwards. So, and we didn't really stick around for the weekend to try and talk to him if he showed up. But, yeah, I don't know. No one's really talked to him, so we're not sure.
That's odd to me. Like, if y'all were in that situation and that many people did not show up, would you just kind of say, I'll deal with this after the honeymoon, or would you start making some phone calls? Because I would have to know what happened.
I
would have started making phone calls, and the brother-in-law's parents actually ended up going, and they said that the best man wasn't even allowed to sign the marriage license, that they chose other people to do it. And they said that there just was a different vibe there. So they didn't even really have a good time. They didn't even have a reserved seat. They were like the last people to eat.
Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like the response can't be that much of a surprise if you've had issues with so many people leading up to the wedding day, that in a weird way, I almost feel really bad for the bride. Like, what happened to her to make her this crazy bridezilla psycho? Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't just end up in crazy land.
Yeah, because I mean, a majority of the time, monsters aren't born, they're created. So it's like, what happened in her life that got her to this point? But at the same time, that doesn't excuse the behavior. Right. It explains the behavior, mm-hmm. but it doesn't excuse the behavior. So if you're a grown woman and you're acting like this, mm-hmm. then you're gonna have to suck up and take the repercussions of your actions.
You got to do the work, right? Like, things happen to all of us. And at some point, you have to do the work to heal. And this, to me, is a clear message that maybe some accountability should be taken on her part to figure out what's going on.
Or depending on the type of person it's just going to make it worse.
That's true, too.
Because it can go one of two ways. Like, that could be a wake-up call to change your ways, or it can make you just even more defiant in who you are.
And now she'll really take the nephew from the family.
Are you guys settled? Like, are you happy with your decision?
We are.
Okay.
Because, we met up with my sister afterwards, and they were just heartbroken over this. Imagine being uninvited to your son's wedding.
I hope for them they can, like, find some semblance of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't end here, because now she's officially a part of the family. So it's not just the wedding that they've had to deal with. Now it's every holiday from here on out forever until they get divorced.
That seems, it might seem inevitable. Just Sarah. All right. Well, thanks so much for the update, Emily. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a good day.
Oh, by the way, the murder mystery party. Who did it?
I actually was the murderer.
Oh, you were
The Bird Show.
Major plot twist. Hang on.
Monday.
Tell me about it. I'm like, my caffeine hasn't kicked in yet. Major plot twist this past weekend when it comes to our college football bet. So our college football bet is this. We had to choose teams that we thought were going to have the worst records. So you want your team to go 0-for for the season. And if you have the winningest team, that means you're going to be the one singing the national anthem at a Little League game. This is not real.
Is this English?
The what? Super.
Yeah. I was like, once she started singing, I'm like, that is, I recognize Maya Rudolph on SNL. So maybe we're running out of, maybe we're running out of bad national anthems.
Okay. I was about to say, it's getting to the point where we've had so many bad national anthem examples. I'm like, are people doing it on purpose specifically to go viral?
All right. So that is going to be the bet payoff. And listen, Abby's out of this. I'm out of this. Like, we're sitting in the stands with our popcorn watching either Bert or Mo sing the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And Mo, when I checked the scores yesterday morning,
mm-hmm.
and when I tell you I had the biggest S. Eaton grin on my face, because you're staying alive, sir. Your East Carolina team still hasn't got you singing that national anthem yet. This is your fight song, by the way.
Oh, hey.
Go Pirates.
Yes. Staying alive. Staying alive.
All right. So y'all didn't play this weekend.
Nope.
But Bert's New Mexico Lobos played.
Mm-hmm.
And the way this is all breaking down, y'all, Bert's team has to win their last two games of the season. Mo's team has to lose. So yesterday, Bert's New Mexico Lobos had to beat number 19 Washington State.
Ranked.
In order for Mo to escape singing the national anthem. And they did it.
That's crazy.
They beat them 38-35.
And Washington State was like 8-1, right? At the time, they had only lost one game all season.
That's insane.
So that means Bert now has to win his last game, and Mo has to lose his last two, and they will end in a tie. And then the way we would figure out a tie is we're going to add up how many points each team scored, and whoever scored the most points, that's who's going to be singing the national anthem.
It's funny, too, because I was over it. I wasn't checking scores. I didn't care. I was like, listen, I lost. It is what it is. Let me warm up these vocal cords. And then there I was just seeing what Kristen was doing in her stories, and I saw that she posted it like, Mo, you still alive? And I was like, wait, what?
Literally how?
That's when I noticed, like, okay, I'm still in this thing.
Like, I had to read the headline multiple times to make sure. I'm like, no, yeah, did Washington, no, New Mexico won. That is, Mo is still in it. Play that fight song one more time.
Hey.
You still got some fight, Mo.
Still got some fight. Still in this thing. I just need New Mexico Lobos to fight. Fight like your life depended on it, because mine does.
All right, so the way the games are rolling out. So Bert's New Mexico Lobos have a bye this week. Their last game is going to be November 30th. So, Mo, they got one game left. Mo, you got two.
Two games left.
Your next game is this Saturday, and you're playing the North Texas Mean Green.
The Mean Green.
Who are 5-5.
Yeah, that's decent. Right in the middle, they got around the same record because East Carolina is 6-4. So it should be a good one, but I'm rooting for Mean Green. I think they can come out and get this W.
And if they do, then it's down to the last game of the season. Who would have thought?
I just literally couldn't have played out any better.
But go ahead. I'm going to give you your bragging rights because I know you need to have it every single week. I'm not going to take this away from you, Abigail.
I'm going to use up all of the national airtime I have to let everyone know that Florida State is 1-9 this year. After going totally undefeated last year, they have had one of the worst records I have seen any team have ever. And it's so great that it's my rival school because on top of it all, I went to a Florida game, my alma mater, this weekend, and we won. So it's so anytime UF is winning and Florida State is losing in an embarrassing way, it's a good day for me.
I was not going to rob you of your moment to throw it into FSU fans' faces.
Yes, thank you.
Especially when we ridiculed you ruthlessly at the beginning of the season when you chose Florida State, who was undefeated last year.
I thought we were going to cruise to a victory. I was just waiting for Abby to have to sing. This don't make no sense.
Yeah, and I got Kent State. They're 0-10. Their next game is tomorrow, and I'm actually rooting for them to win because I don't want them to have a winless season.
That's nice of you.
So I'm hoping they beat Akron tomorrow night so they can, you know, get a W. I feel like that's like the, you know, the Christian thing to do.
I agree.
And famously.
Get it? The Bert Show.
All right, entertainment buzz.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
He's like a virus. He just keeps on coming back. And of course, I'm talking about none other than Domingo.
Hey, man. Came all this way, had to explain, direct from Domingo. Kelsey's a friend, she's like my sis, but we did hook up though.
That is
has quickly become one of the most iconic sketches to come out of the 2020s SNL cast. I feel like SNL is coming back. I feel like they really got their groove back in terms of comedy sketches, and they have stars coming out. Marcelo Hernandez, who plays Domingo, I think is really given a lot of life back to SNL. So that was a sketch that went really viral a couple of weeks ago when Ariana Grande was on SNL. He plays this guy named Domingo, who apparently hooked up with the bride at the bachelorette party. And then he proceeded to crash the wedding and do a little tune to Espresso, where he reveals that he did, in fact, hook up with the bride. But now he's back, because over the weekend, he decided to crash the bride's baby shower to the tune of Hot to Go.
When was the last time you saw Domingo?
It is today.
D-O-M-I-N-G-O. So this is now becoming a bit. He's probably going to be a recurring character throughout SNL's history. But now he isn't just on Saturday Night Live. He actually got arrested at a Sabrina Carpenter concert in Los Angeles over the weekend. Yeah, so Sabrina has this bit where...
Oh. I was like, dude, what?
She has this bit where she's on stage and she's like, I have to arrest you for being too sexy. And then the camera goes to some random audience member. And typically it's just some girl from, like, you know, some sophomore in college who's like, me, you're arresting me. But every now and then she'll arrest somebody famous. Like in Atlanta, she arrested Millie Bobby Brown. And in Los Angeles, she had to arrest Domingo, but she had to make sure that she gave him a couple of words to state his case.
Is there anything you want to say before I arrest you, Domingo?
The swag.
Actually, as his character, that's funny.
I'm calling this my Domingo break because I have one more Domingo to talk about.
Are you serious?
It's not Marcelo Hernandez. So quickly, I have to back up and talk about Daniel Craig, because he is teasing who the next James Bond might be. And he dropped a little clue over the weekend, maybe. So on Sunday, Daniel Craig attended the 15th Governor's Awards at the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles. And of course, he gets up, he's giving some kind of speech, and he says, let's just get something out of the way. He said, if you came here this evening to find out who the next James Bond is, don't look at me, but he might be in the room. And then he goes, I'm just joking. Maybe I'm not. So I'm wondering, are we going to look back on everyone who attended this event and go, Daniel Craig knew that the next James Bond was in that room, and we thought he was joking, or maybe he wasn't joking. But then actually Coleman Domingo ended up getting up on stage and pitched himself. He's like, you know, I know there's a list of phenomenal, handsome, athletic, suave, and debonair actors vying to be the next James Bond. Now, if you're thinking of me, I don't know what to tell you. Bond or Bond villain, you decide. I will leave my headshots on your table. So he may be the next James Bond. We shall see. Okay, SZA is saying that she regrets getting her BBL. I feel like this is not something we hear from people. Like, I think the only people to have been publicly regret their BBLs are maybe the Kardashians. Like, once that body type goes out of style, if it gets a little bit less trendy, they end up, like, reversing their BBLs. But SZA went on the record and said, I didn't need to do that. I looked amazing before. Like, don't get me wrong. I love shaking it now. It looks great. But why did I do that to my body?
I mean, it's brave of her to come out and say that, but I don't know how much. I mean, it's done well for her. Yes. I don't know why she would really, like, question it.
It's been an asset.
There you go.
To her career.
Yeah, that's it. One, exactly that.
One could say it's only helped her. All right. She says her ex stole her cat out of spite after the breakup and is prepared to do something big in public to retaliate. I've got an update on Zach Bryan and Brianna Chicken Fry's messy breakup on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.